Today is Friday, January 17th, 2025, and you are listening to the World Socialist website.
Biden and the American oligarchy. President Joe Biden's farewell address on Wednesday night was a blend of self-congratulatory rhetoric and fantastical claims about the successes of the 4 years of his administration. Amidst the platitudes, Biden made one statement that briefly acknowledged the grim reality of American society. "I want to warn the country of some things that give me great concern," Biden said, "and that's the dangerous concentration of power in the hands of a very few ultra-wealthy people. Today, an oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power, and influence that literally threatens our entire democracy, our basic rights and freedoms." Invoking Eisenhower's 1961 farewell address, in which the retiring president and former general warned about the dangers of a military-industrial complex, Biden referred to the rise of what he called a tech-industrial complex that could pose real dangers for our country as well. While Biden spoke in conditional terms about potential developments that are taking shape, the oligarchic character of American society is already an entrenched reality, cultivated over decades by the very system he defends. It is easy enough to point to the staggering hypocrisy of Biden's comments, which present the consolidation of oligarchic control as if his own administration had nothing to do with it. According to Bloomberg News, during Biden's 4 years in office, the wealth of the 100 richest Americans grew by $1.5 trillion, a staggering 63% increase. Prominent figures within what Biden referred to as the tech-industrial complex have seen their fortunes skyrocket. Musk's wealth has grown 16-fold, from $25 billion in 2020 to over $415 billion. Bezos's wealth has doubled, and Zuckerberg's has nearly quadrupled. As Biden leaves office, he speaks of an oligarchy that he and the Democratic Party have played a central role in fostering and expanding, including through the massive bipartisan bank bailouts in 2008 and 2020. Biden's central focus as president was to get the public to resume normal economic life during a raging pandemic, with the explicit aim of driving down wages and reducing costs for major corporations. There is something deeply pathetic about a man who has been in the White House for the last 4 years and served as the senator from Delaware, the center of corporate tax evasion, for decades, now posturing as an opponent of the oligarchy. More fundamentally, Biden could not and did not address the origins of this oligarchy or its intrinsic connection to the social and economic system, capitalism, that he and the entire political establishment defend. We don't know whether Biden or his staff have read the World Socialist website, but Biden essentially confirmed, from the horse's mouth, the analysis of the Trotskyist movement over an extended period of time, and in particular, in relation to the re-election of Donald Trump. Donald Trump speaks not simply as one criminal individual, the WSWS wrote in its initial statement following the election, but as the representative of a powerful capitalist oligarchy that has taken shape over the last 3 to 4 decades. Mega millionaires and billionaires, led by the likes of Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Peter Thiel, and Larry Ellison, are utilizing Trump to effect in their interests a reactionary restructuring of American society. The WSWS not only analyzed the social basis of the destruction of democratic forms of rule, it advanced a proposal for what to do about it. Following the election on November 20th, the Socialist Equality Party organized an online meeting under the headline, "Of, By, and for the Oligarchy, Trump's Cabinet, and the Restructuring of the American State," focused precisely on this issue. Addressing the significance of Trump's re-election, WSWS International Editorial Board Chairman David North explained that the oligarchic character of social relations in this country, the vast concentration of wealth in a relative handful of people, is absolutely incompatible with a democratic system. North added, "The constituency for democracy in its modern form can only come through the development of a mass movement of the working class, the fight against the capitalist system, the transfer of ownership of the means of production control of society to the broad mass of the people." In its New Year's statement, socialism against oligarchy, fascism, and war, the WSWS drew the connection between the capitalist oligarchy and the entire policy of the ruling class, including the homicidal response to the pandemic, which has killed millions, and the escalating global war, which threatens all of mankind. Underlying these interlinked crises, we wrote, is an oligarchy that subordinates all of society to profit and the accumulation of personal wealth. The fight against the oligarchy is by its very nature a revolutionary task. Its wealth must be expropriated and its stranglehold over economic and political life abolished. The present social reality is the outcome of an extended historical process. Biden's reference to Eisenhower reveals more than he intended. When Eisenhower issued his warning in 1961, American capitalism was at the height of its global dominance. 64 years later, Biden speaks as the aging representative of a ruling class that is rotting on its feet. The Democratic Party proposes and can propose nothing to address the reality to which he briefly alluded. Despite sporadic references to the danger of Trump and his authoritarian politics, the Democratic Party has consistently downplayed the threat of fascism and has now dropped it altogether. In his farewell address, Biden repeated his previous statement, "I wish the incoming administration success," which was his only actual reference to the government to which he will be handing power. The idea that this administration can be opposed within the existing political framework or without a direct assault on the wealth and power of the oligarchy is sheer fantasy. The ruling class has made clear its intentions to dismantle democratic rights, crush dissent, and impose austerity on the working class while enriching the financial oligarchy. The only way forward is through a direct assault on the wealth and power of the oligarchs. Their stranglehold over society must be broken through the expropriation of their wealth and the reorganization of economic life on the basis of social need, not private profit. This task is inseparably bound up with the fight for socialism. The Socialist Equality Party and the World Socialist website have consistently warned of the consequences of the deepening crisis of capitalism, from the rise of fascistic politics to the escalating global imperialist war. As Trump returns to the White House, the SEP is spearheading the fight for a socialist movement of the working class in the U.S. and internationally. This is the basic and urgent political task.
As fires continue to burn, Los Angeles residents face toxic smoke, mudslides, and astronomical housing costs. By Jacob Cross and Joshua Rodriguez. In a Thursday morning press conference, Los Angeles County Sheriff Robert Luna announced that two more people have died from both the Eaton and Palisades fires. This brings the death toll to at least 27, with another 31 people officially missing. As of this writing, the larger Palisades fire remains only 22% contained, while the Eaton fire is at 55%. Santa Ana winds, which have fueled both the fires, receded on Thursday, providing firefighting crews, including helicopters, windows of opportunity to try and contain the infernos. However, Luna said it would be at least another week, if not longer, until the over 80,000 residents who are still displaced would be allowed to return. Even with the slight respite from the winds, millions of people are in danger from toxic chemicals and plastics that continue to burn throughout urban areas. Dr. Jeff Masters, a former hurricane scientist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, wrote in a recent article for Yale Climate Connections that, quote, "the eventual death toll from the disaster is likely to be far, far higher once the health effects from the toxic smoke from the fires are fully realized," end quote. Masters cited several recent studies on wildfire smoke, including a 2024 study which found that smoke from the 2018 Paradise Fire may have killed as many as 12,000 Californians prematurely. While burning trees release gases such as carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide, modern homes and urban landscapes are filled with plastics, which burn faster and release toxic chemicals. Speaking to The Atlantic, CAL FIRE Battalion Chief David Acuna admitted, quote, "we can't put firefighters in front of these houses," end quote, due to the toxic air released from the burning of petrochemicals inside. Acuna noted that while plastic is a useful material, quote, "it will burn faster and it will burn hotter," end quote. In addition to still raging fires, toxic smoke, downed power lines, and ruptured gas lines, residents whose homes may have been spared from the flames are now having to contend with potentially deadly mudslides and erosion, with steep hillsides now stripped of vegetation. At least one home in Pacific Palisades, which was not burned, is now unlivable after it was practically split in half once the ground underneath of it gave way due to the shifting of soil between the fires and the runoff. Los Angeles County Department of Public Works Director Mark Pastrella warned in a Thursday press conference that more homes could be at risk of mudslides if and when major rainfall occurs. He noted that debris from burned-out houses and foliage could overwhelm the flood control system. He said that, quote, in an event we have major rain, we do expect that all areas will be impacted by debris flows that will be hazardous to human health, end quote. The fires have destroyed thousands of homes, leaving tens of thousands of residents without permanent shelter. According to residential real estate brokerage firm Redfin, as of December 2024, the median home sale price in Los Angeles was over $905,000, with an average monthly mortgage payment of $5,970. Los Angeles Redfin wrote, quote, has the least affordable for sale housing market in the country, end quote. As for renters, Redfin found that the median asking rental price for December 2024 was $2,780, over $1,000 more than the national median asking rent of $1,594. Before the fires, more than 95% of apartment units in the city were occupied. Since the fires, residents have reported that many landlords are seeking to take advantage of the recently homeless and displaced. A Google Sheet created by Los Angeles resident Chelsea Kirk tabulates over 1,250 properties that have seen dramatic price increases since the fires started last Tuesday. Kirk told SF Gate that she began the spreadsheet after she saw listings in her Echo Park neighborhood dramatically increase in price. While California has a law that bars price increases of 10% or more during a state of emergency, Kirk said she saw listings that had increased as much as 120%. At the Westwood Recreation Center in Los Angeles on Thursday, WSWS reporters spoke to Pauline about the immense difficulty she and thousands of others are currently going through trying to secure housing. Before the fire started, she said she was under the impression that she had secured an Airbnb rental and had already paid a fee to someone she thought had access to the property. Quote, when I went to my Airbnb, the fire started. I ran, twisted both my ankles, my hands got hurt. It was a complete nightmare, end quote. Pauline has been unable to recoup any of the money she previously paid. Quote, they take your money and leave you nowhere. I want to get an apartment now, but no one will rent to me because I'm not working. Now how can I work when I'm in that shelter? I'm really mad because we all pay taxes, everyone. Why won't they let me have a place? They said I have to have three times their rent money. That's a lie. That's a horrible thing to do to someone, or pay a year's rent before I move in. I should be able to get a place to live. There are other people, and I don't want anyone ripped off after they've lost everything. The woman I was just sitting with there, she was a young girl. They lost her whole house. She showed me the whole house burning, gone. She has nothing. End quote. Pauline noted that rents have gone up around the city in the days since the fires began last week. She said, quote, they really have to get after these price gouging things. They never did for food. It's a cost of living crisis. Who can even afford it? People forget that you're only one paycheck away from being homeless. People don't have anything, and they have to depend on their insurance. And God knows if they're going to pull out like they did in Florida. My two friends that live there, one of them was hit. She paid $15,000 a year, and the insurance company said, we can't fix your place. End quote. On the Dan Bongino Show Thursday, President-elect Donald Trump again raised the possibility of withholding disaster relief to California residents unless they agreed to fund his political priorities, including a massive border police state bill and tax cuts for the wealthy. Trump said, quote, I'd like to see one bill, and because of Los Angeles, you'd think that's a Democrat thing. They want that money going so fast. If you add Los Angeles into it, then you can really do one big, beautiful bill because, frankly, they want that so badly. They want the money to go out there so badly, and I don't think we should do a bill until Los Angeles is included, and when Los Angeles is included, we get everything we want, end quote. Commenting on Trump and the Republican Party's threats to withhold disaster aid, Pauline said, quote, he's insulting the people. He hates Los Angeles because we don't like him, end quote. When asked to comment on Trump blaming immigrants for starting the fires, Pauline replied, quote, he is a racist, end quote. You can find these articles and more at wsws.org. The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support.
To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.